I would like to invite you all to stand together with me for the reading of God's Word. Our first reading comes from Leviticus chapter 7, verse 11 to 21. Hear the holy Word of God. Leviticus 7:11 to 21. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings that one may offer to the Lord. If he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the thanksgiving sacrifice unleavened loaves mixed with oil, unleavened wafers smeared with oil, and loaves of fine flour with mixed with oil. With the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving, he shall bring his offering with loaves of leavened bread. And from it he shall offer one loaf from each offering as a gift to the Lord. It shall belong to the priest who throws the blood of the peace offerings. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten on the day of his offering. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. For if the sacrifice of his offering is now vow offering or a farewell offering, it shall be eaten on the day that he offers his sacrifice. On the next day, what remains of it shall be eaten. But what remains of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burned up with fire. If any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering is eaten on the third day, he who offers it shall not be accepted. Neither shall it be credited to him. It is tainted, and he who eats of it shall bear his iniquity. Flesh that touches any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burned up with fire. All who are clean may eat flesh. But the person who eats of the flesh of the sacrifice of the Lord, the Lord's peace offerings, while an uncleanness to on him, that person shall be cut off from his people. And if anyone touches unclean thing, whether human uncleanness or unclean beast or any unclean, detestable creature, and then eats some flesh from the sacrifice of the Lord's peace offerings, that person shall be cut off from his people. And now I'd like to invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 13, which will be my text for this morning, starting from verse 10 to 16. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of the animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the one that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, before I proceed with the the preaching of the Word of God this morning, I would like to tell you how delighted I am, together with my family here with us this morning, to be here at Covenant, my home church. I don't want to name it as my former church. I still consider this church as my home church, people whom I love and cherish very much, together with my family. Thank you for giving me the opportunity, the session, and all of you to come back to the pulpit again and worship the true and the living God together with you. Also, thank you for giving Redeemer Office in Atlanta the same opportunity to sit under the ministry of my good friend and brother, Pastor Peter van der Doorn. We always pray for you, and we are also mindful that you always pray for us. So let's keep praying for one another. I'm sure if you are like me, you have invited people to your church. As a member of a local church or as a pastor, and after the worship service is concluded, you talk to them, and one of the things that they might say to you, if you are like me, is, "I enjoyed the worship, maybe not the singing, but I'm surprised that you don't have an altar in your church. I was looking for the cross and the altar, and I didn't see the altar." And some of us, we try to answer that question by bringing in church history or the fact that we are a conservative church, we don't have an altar in our church. But according to the writer of the Hebrews, my friends, the right answer, the right and biblical answer is, we do have an altar. Christ Jesus is the altar of the Church of Jesus Christ. And that's the theme that I would like to address to you this morning. I think those questions, and sometimes the answer, maybe not the right answer that we give to people, comes from a lack of understanding about the reality of the Christian life, the reality of our own salvation, but also the reality of why Christ came to the world. The Christian religion, the Christian faith, is not a complicated religion to understand or live for. The one thing that we always need to keep in our mind is, according to the teaching of the Bible, but especially this morning, according to the writer of the book of Hebrews, the Christian religion comprises two great and important points. The first one is our fall in Adam, and the second one is our recovery by Christ. And how we have been recovered by the ultimate and the final sacrifice of Jesus Christ has been unfolded to us through symbols and shadows and sacrifices in the Old Testament. And one of them has been the place that the Israelites, people in the Old Testament, called the altar. And if you remember what happened in the Garden of Eden, the moment man fell into sin, and God confronted Adam and Eve about the sin that they have committed in His sight, Adam said to God, "I was afraid, and we just realized that we are naked." And before God expelled them from the Garden of Eden, we see in the book of Genesis, God covering Adam and Eve, His own children, by the skin of an animal as a garment. And from that time onward, it became very obvious and very important for people, not only Adam and Eve, but all people who love God, all people who wants to be reconciled with God. The only way to be reconciled with this holy God is through a sacrifice. And then if you follow the unfolding of the drama of redemption, even in time of Cain and Abel, you see them, the two brothers, bringing sacrifice to God. With one sacrifice, God was pleased. With the other one, He was not pleased. But we see Abel bringing an animal sacrifice to the Lord, and God was pleased because he offered the sacrifice by faith. And God was pleased with that sacrifice. But not only that, after Noah came out from the ark, the one thing that we see is the moment he came out from the ark, he consecrated a place where he placed the altar. And that was a family altar. You see, the first one was individual altar. But what Noah did was a family altar. Him and his family came to the presence of the Lord. And they constructed an altar. And in Genesis 8, this is what we read. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. That was a family altar, and they offered a sacrifice of a burnt offering to the Lord. And the smoke would go up to heaven. And the Bible tells us, Moses actually tells us, God was pleased with the offering. Let me ask you this question. Why was God pleased with the offering? The fact that God never destroyed the earth ever again. The fact that Noah and his descendants, all of us, has been preserved by God. Does that have anything to do with the goodness of man? Anything good in man? Anything good in Noah and his children? If you look into what took place carefully, it was not dependent on the goodness of Noah. It was not dependent on anything good in man. Because in Exodus, the Bible tells us this. God said about his people, I have seen this people. Behold, it is a stiff, naked people. They are rigid. They are hard-hearted. They are rebellious against me. In fact, in the book of Genesis, God said, the heart of man is wicked from his time of youth. So man was still wicked. Noah, right after constructing this altar, you will see him getting drunk and commit heinous sin in the sight of God. It was not depending on the goodness of man. It was depending on the sacrifice. The sacrifice that God required from man. And it didn't stop there. We see God commanding Abraham to sacrifice his own Isaac in Genesis 22, 1 to 3. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. And you all know the story. Abraham obeyed God. He obeyed God to the extent of killing his own son against all odds, against all contradictions that seemed were contradicting with the promise of God. And he did that because he had faith in God, in the promise of God. Hebrews 11:19. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. So the question that we need to ask this morning is this. What was the thing that God was communicating with his people when he required Abraham to sacrifice his own son Isaac? What God was communicating with his people was the sacrifice that will redeem the people of God, the sacrifice that would please God will require the death and the resurrection of the offspring of Abraham. Someone from the loin of Abraham should come and die but also raised from the dead. In order God to be perfectly pleased with man, in order the descendants of Abraham embrace the promise of God, the offspring of Abraham should die and raise from the dead. And it was not Isaac. It was Christ, the Son of God, who was the seed of Abraham. You see, the altar always points to the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Remember, my friends, the altar is not the cross. The altar is not the sacrament. The altar is not the front of the church. The altar is the person of Jesus Christ. In fact, the writer of the Hebrews speaks about it as a tent. And in John chapter 1, John reminds us that that tent was the body of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then we beheld the glory of God in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. You see, when the writer of the Hebrews here said, we have an altar, he's talking about believers, he's talking about Christians who have placed their trust in Jesus Christ and for whom Christ has become the new altar. John, when he was doing his ministry, he saw Jesus Christ coming from a distance and he said this, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When the writer of the Hebrews in chapter 9 talks about new things being arrived, came to us, he was making a reference to reconciliation of sinners with God, atonement and justification by the blood of Jesus Christ by faith, the pardon of sin that we enjoy in Christ Jesus, and the eternal life that has been secured for us in the death and the sacrifice and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's your altar. Your altar is Christ. Your altar is a person, Jesus Christ Himself, the Son of God, the true, final, and ultimate altar for the people of God is Christ Himself. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 14, John, in his revelation, he said this, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. The writer of the Hebrews in our text this morning, he said those who didn't approach God in a worthy manner, in a way that God commanded them, they were cut off. They were cut off from the temple. They were cut off from the temple because they disobeyed God. They approached God in a way that God never required them. But also they have been commanded to leave the temple. And if you ask why, because the new has come. The substance of their faith, Jesus Christ, came. And they can embrace Christ by faith. They don't need to stay in the temple, in Judaism. So they were commanded to leave Judaism and embrace Jesus Christ, their new altar. So they were cut off from the temple because of their faith in Jesus Christ, but also they were cut off from the blessing of God because of their disobedience. If you are in Christ this morning, if you are placing your confidence and your trust only in Jesus Christ, you are in the new altar. And God the Father is pleased with you because Christ has become your altar, your only and ultimate and final altar. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, Paul said, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. What it means here is, you need to go out from Judaism. And now you might say, but I'm not a Jew. I'm not in Judaism. This doesn't apply to me. Well, Judaism was that time's world, from where God required His people to come out and worship Him through one way, Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Judaism today is the world around us. The world around us is another form of Judaism from which we must come out. We must come out and come to this new and true altar. Martin Luther one time said, without this altar, incarnation doesn't have any meaning. Without this altar, our justification doesn't have any meaning. Without this altar, our glorification doesn't have any meaning. The meaning of our Christian life, all the blessings of God have their meaning in this altar, in the person, in the work of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let me ask you this morning. Do you understand this altar? When you come to God for worship, do you approach God through this altar, Christ Himself? Because the writer is saying, we have an altar. Believers, we have an altar in the person of Jesus Christ, in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which is final. Jesus said, it is finished. You don't need an altar except Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So the first thing that we learn is, you see, the preeminence of our advantage as believers in the New Testament. That's what you see in the new altar, in the final altar, you see. You see the preeminence, the excellence of your privilege to approach the presence of God through this new and final and ultimate altar, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But secondly, you also learn your duties arising from it. You have an altar, Christ Himself. What is your duty? The writer in verse 15 reminds you what your duty is. And he says, though, through Him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. You see what your duty is? What duty arises from this privilege, Christ being your altar? It is your sacrifice, but not a sacrifice of an animal. Because Christ has done it. It is done. But a sacrifice, what? Your worship. And the writer calls it praise. When you come to church for the worship of God, you are coming, you are in the house of God to offer this sacrifice that would be pleasing to God. Your praise that comes out from your heart, but also from your lips. Psalm 116, 17 and 19. I will offer to you, the psalmist said, the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. You see what the psalmist is reminding you? The only thing that God the Father requires from you is this worship. Psalm 100 reminds you that you have been created for the purpose of what? For the purpose of worship. By creation, by the work of creation, you belong to God. For what purpose? For worship. To offer praise to God. But also by redemption, you belong to Him. Because the psalmist in Psalm 100 calls you the sheep of God. For what purpose? The sheep that has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ for one purpose, to bring glory to God by praising Him for everything that He has done for you. Psalm 27, 6. And now my head, the psalmist said, my head in all shall be lifted up above my enemies, all who are around me, and I will offer in his tent. You see, in his tent. It brings you back to the body of Jesus Christ. Tent, in his tent, which means you worship God being in Christ. You sing to the glory of God being in Christ. You see, you come to this altar, Christ, and everything you do, your singing, your offering, your prayer, the preaching of the Word of God, everything you do together as the people of God, in the worship of God, you do it being in Christ, and you place everything in Christ. That's why we pray in the name of Christ. That's why we invite you to the table to partake the Lord's Supper in the name of Christ. That's why we preach, we proclaim the Word of God in the name of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. One altar. And then God the Father looks down to His people worshiping you, being in Christ, in the name of Christ. And then our worship and our praise becomes a pleasing aroma to God the Father. God smiles upon us. God is pleased with us because we are in Christ. We are singing and praising being in Christ. If you don't want to be tired and even go to sleep in the worship service, be in Christ. Stay in Christ. Worship God the Father being in Christ. You will be awake because it will be a test of heaven for you. Because you are worshiping God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Praise to God. Psalm 69, but I am afflicted, the psalmist said, and in pain. Let your salvation, O God, set me on high. He wants to worship God, but he was afflicted. Some of you, maybe you are sick this morning. Maybe you came to church struggling with depression or illness or broken relationship. Maybe something is going on in your life the same like the psalmist, but I am afflicted and in pain. Let your salvation, O God, set me on high. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hoofs. When the humble see it, they will be glad. You who seek God, let your heart revive. Let heaven and earth praise Him. The seas and everything that moves in them, let them praise God. If you are in this spirit, your sickness will not hold you back from worshiping God. If you are in this spirit, the spirit where the psalmist was, you will worship God, you will praise God without any hindrance from what you feel and struggle in your life. This is not an empty promise. This is not a command or exhortation that you do depending on your own flesh, your own strengths. But you do this being in Christ. You do this being led by the Holy Spirit. Our God, your Heavenly Father, wants you to worship Him. But He also wants to be pleased by your worship. That's the purpose of your creation, my friends. The question to all of you this morning is this. Do you understand Christ as your altar? New and final altar. And the second question you need to answer is this. Are you praising God being in this altar? Are you worshiping God being in Christ? Are you worshiping God, understanding Christ as your altar? The writer is reminding you, you do have an altar where you can stand and worship God, and the Father will be pleased to you. Is Christ your altar, my friends? Do you always put your prayers, the reading of the Word of God, your giving on Christ, your altar? Peter said in 1 Peter 2, as you come to Him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. That's who you are. Living stones. For what purpose? Offer a living sacrifice to God. That would please Him and that would bring all God's blessing down from heaven upon you as His children. Do you praise Him, my friends, with gladness? Every time you come to church on the Lord's Day, are you cheerful? Are you joyful? Paul said, rejoice. And I say, always rejoice. Are you praising and declaring the goodness of God in your life? You see, when Christ commanded His church to go to all people and make disciples of all nations, the joy of your salvation should accompany that great commission that Christ has given to your church. Because you do have an altar, Christ the Son of God. I encourage you this morning, in the name of Christ, your altar, to offer a living, pleasing sacrifice to your God. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, once again we give thanks to You for Your holy and infallible Word. This Word that reminded us that Christ Your Son is indeed our altar, our final and ultimate altar, through which we offer a living sacrifice to You. Enable Your children by Your Holy Spirit to understand, to realize, to grasp why and how and for what purpose is Christ their altar. And enable them to offer a sacrifice, a living and holy and acceptable sacrifice, being in Christ their altar. We pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.